So last week we started preaching from Acts chapter 10. We started looking at the story of Cornelius' conversion. And what I've been doing in my own private time is looking and going through the preachers of the apostles, what Paul actually preached, what Peter preached. And we see some amazing things and some amazing keys that I believe unlock things. Number one, first of all, they glorified Jesus in everything they did. Number two, they declared that Jesus had risen from the dead. And number three, they made space for the Holy Spirit to transform lives. And so we started looking at that last week, Acts chapter 10. Go and read the story. It's an amazing story of Cornelius, who an angel comes and visits him, tells him about Peter. Sends people, Peter to fetch Peter. Peter comes along. He had seen a vision of a cloth coming down full of all kinds of animals. And God tells him, listen, don't treat anything that I call clean as unclean. And that was a picture of Peter, a Jew, that it was time to reach out to the Gentiles. And so he does that, and that's in a short little prayer, so you can listen to the message online. But this is what we looked at last week, and how Peter exalted Jesus in his preaching, and this resulted in the Holy Spirit coming in power. We saw that in order to be an effective witness of Jesus, we need more of his presence and more of his power, not only in our preaching and our teaching, but in our lives. And we get more of his presence and more of his power in our lives when we lift up the name of Jesus and we walk in radical obedience to him. And we see that's what the apostles did. And that's what happens when we exalt Jesus. The Holy Spirit comes. And I'm believing today, even as we worship, that there'll be a tangible sense of the presence of God in our midst today. You see, the reason the Holy Spirit comes is because the role of the Holy Spirit, according to Jesus in John 16, 13 to 14, is to glorify Jesus. It says this, Jesus said this in John 16, 13 to 14. When he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. What the Holy Spirit does is take the Word of God, the Logos Word of God, the written Word of God, and through the power of the Spirit transforms that word from information to revelation. And that's what God wants us to walk in. Not in a whole bunch of information, but a revelation, first of all, that Jesus Christ is God and that he was raised from the dead. He will guide us into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he'll tell you what is yet to come. This is the key. He will glorify me. The Holy Spirit will glorify me, because it is from me that he will receive what he will make known to you. Just want to get some water. Excuse me, I had to take some antihistamines this morning, so my tongue's sticking to the top of my mouth. I know you didn't need that information, but you got it anyway. You see, when we glorify Jesus in our worship, when we glorify him in our preaching, but more so when we glorify him through our lives, you see, what we do gives credibility to what we say. And when we are followers of Jesus, the presence of the Holy Spirit is upon us, and he begins to do amazing things in and through us. We see the apostles, if you look at their lives, every time something happened, in fact, some of people wanted to make them gods because of healings and that. They pointed people to Jesus. They pointed, it's not me, it's him. How did he heal this person? Jesus Christ, whom you crucified and was raised from the dead. It is through him and through his name only. And when we preach and we live our lives like that, things happen in the supernatural. Because the Holy Spirit comes and confirms the word And we see that in Hebrews chapter 2, 3 to 4. And he confirms the word with signs, wonders, and various miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit distributed according to his will. I long to see the days when we are preaching and when we are teaching, when the Holy Spirit begins to move in power, where people are set free from the dominion of darkness in an instant, where they're healed, were set free from addictions. We're hearing stories today of these kind of things. But we need more of this in the life of the church. We need more. We need to make Jesus' name known. You see, we are the body of Christ. He is the head of the church. And this is just one little vineyard. The church, Oceanside, should not be more known in our lives than Jesus Christ is. Amen? And we see this in Peter's preaching, as he preaches on the resurrected Christ in Acts chapter 2. Go and read. The Holy Spirit has come in power. He preaches this amazing message. And 3,000 are saved in one day. The Holy Spirit comes in power as he speaks about the Christ whom was they crucified, who has risen from the dead. And in Acts chapter 10, and I love the difference here, is because in Acts chapter 2, Peter is preaching to thousands of people. But in Acts 10, he's preaching to one family. And I just love their obedience. He didn't say, God, listen, I can't go to Cornelius' house and speak to him. I'm an evangelist of note. Thousands have been saved through my ministry. No, he said, God, if that's what you want me to do, I will do. And we're going to speak and start looking at what it means to be radically obedient to Christ. What it's going to take in the world we're in to let the light shine in this dark place. Because Jesus says, we are the light of the world. And that it's through us and through our deeds and through our proclamation of Jesus Christ that we proclaim, that we create an atmosphere where the Holy Spirit can work in people's lives. I keep on saying this. Don't try and get people saved. Don't try and even convince them. Sow seeds of love, of acceptance, of forgiveness. Sow seeds of the Word of God into their hearts and allow God to do what God does, because only God can save. How many of you saved yourself? Nobody. So stop trying to save others. Love them. Speak the truth. Show them the Word of God. Tell them your story. I was once blind, but now I see. That's my story. That God loves me as I am. And through that love that I have from God, I just simply want to give it to you. It's the easiest thing in the world to be. The devil has tricked us into believing that if we don't know the whole Bible and if we don't live a sinless life, we have nothing to share. No, we have everything to share because it's not about us. It's about Jesus. And when we tell our story, let's glorify Jesus more than we glorify our past. Yes, I was this, but now I am this. Amen. And we see as Peter's preaching in Acts 10, 36 to 48, we read it last week, to Cornelius and his household, the Holy Spirit comes upon them and they're radically saved. I'm just going to read that, Acts 10, 44 to 48, because I long to see this. I long to see this in our midst. And I just want to say this, and I say this quite often, but it's a revelation that transformed my life in the early 2000s. And I want to tell you, because you may have not heard it, but you may not have. But I want to tell you where I come from in this. Is in the early 2000s, I had the privilege of going to Cambodia and working in that amazing country for a while. On my way back, I stopped in Singapore, and I was coming back to Nanaimo. We had just planted the church a few years ago. It was winter here, freezing cold. And I must confess, I asked God this. God, do I have to go back there? My question is, God, has changed. God, please, I don't ever want to leave there. But while I was thinking about that, because I saw so much need in that amazing country, I felt God say this, tend your vineyard. Now, John 15, Jesus talks about he's the vine and we're the branches, and that apart from him, we can do zip, zero, nothing. But in him, we can do all things. And I thought, well, what does that mean? And he says, I have given you a vineyard. And it is in Nanaimo, British Columbia. It wasn't an audible voice. This is as I'm meditating. And he says, when that vineyard produces fruit, you have something to give. Stop looking over the fence at the other vineyards. The ones that are doing better, or the ones that have maybe got more weeds than you. Tend your vineyard. And church, we can say that about our own lives. And we can say that about this church. So for this congregation, although we are part of an amazing body of Christ in the city, and I have amazing relationships with the pastors, this is the vineyard that God's given us. And we have to pray and encourage them to tend their vineyard well. So together, we can reach the city. Amen. So I want to tell you that for me, I want us to be a people known that are radically in love with Jesus. Radically in love. Because if we are radically in love with him, we will want to please him. Not because we have to, but because we want to. And so I'm speaking for us, and I pray and praying this for others, that the world will see a radical community in love with God, that the city will see. They won't judge people, but will speak the truth in love. And this is what it says. While Peter was still speaking these words, in other words, whilst Peter was preaching and exalting Jesus, the Holy Spirit came on all who heard the message. I've been believing that for today. And I'm going to believe it for every Sunday. And I'm going to believe it for every day. Because without the anointing, there's nothing that we can have. Because that means we're working in our own strength. And the circumcised believers, these are the Jews who had come with Peter, were astonished that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on even the Gentiles. How sad is that? But how did they know? For they heard them speaking in tongues and praising God. The Holy Spirit came and interrupted Peter's message. And these people were saved while he was speaking about Jesus. And this is what he says in response to that. Surely no one can stand in the way of their being baptized in water. And he says this. They have received the Holy Spirit just as we have. And this is an amazing word. So he ordered them to be baptized. That's a strong word. Now, I don't want to twist anybody's arm. But the ESV says he commanded them to be baptized. Why? Because it's in obedience to the Lord Jesus Christ. And they asked Peter to stay with them for a few days after that. And you see, an amazing thing happened before Peter's message was over. We've just seen that. As he exalted Jesus, the Holy Spirit confirmed the word. And how did Peter exalt Jesus? In many ways in this message. And I'm going to pick out one or two. And Jesus in verse 36 of 10, Acts 10, 36, he exalts Jesus as the peacemaker. He says this, you know the message God sent the people of Israel, announcing the good news of peace through Jesus Christ, who is our Lord and all. In the same verse, and this is all in last week's message, Peter exalts Jesus as Lord of all, King of kings and Lord of all. Jesus is both our Lord and our Savior. We love to hear the Savior stuff. Grace, grace, grace. But the Lord stuff. And you see Peter in Revelation chapter 1. Revelation, the book of Revelation. John. This is the apostle whom Jesus loved. This is the apostle that would put his head on Jesus' chest while he was on earth. He has a revelation of the risen Savior. Go and read it. It freaks him out so much, his glory, his majesty, his power, that he falls on the floor as if dead. The same Peter. You see, Jesus is not the gentle Jesus, meek and mild. He came as a baby. He lived as a man. He died and he's exalted to the highest place in the universe. He rules supreme. And Jesus doesn't leave him on the floor. He picks him up. And he says, and he reconciles him. The Lord of all. Is Jesus the Lord of my life? Or is he simply my Savior? And I need both. You see, this is what he says in verse 36. You know the message of God sent to the people of Israel, announcing the good news of peace through Jesus Christ, who is Lord and all. And today I want to speak briefly as we go into the Christmas season, briefly about the incarnation. The word you may not have heard of, but I hope I can explain it to you. Where God became man. He did not set aside his divinity to take on humanity. He was fully God and fully man. And Peter speaks of this in verse 38. He says this, you know how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth, Mike of Nanaimo, Joe of Nanaimo, Jesus of Nazareth. In his humanity, he was anointed by the Holy Spirit. And he anointed with the Holy Spirit with power, for God was with him. And he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. And this is the heart of Christianity. This is the heart of the Christian season. You see, if we think of Jesus, just gentle Jesus, meek and mild, and all he is a baby in a manger, we miss out on who he really is. Born of a virgin, a baby in a manger, yes, but exalted Christ. Because the essence of Christianity is this, that Jesus Christ is truly God. He was conceived by the Holy Spirit, but he is also truly man, born of a virgin. Two natures, one divine and one human, perfectly united forever in one person, the Lord Jesus Christ. This will be on my website. I even put my name. This is, we need to understand this. We need to understand this through revelation, because people will say that's impossible. Well, with God, nothing's impossible. Why do we put our finite brain and our finite thinking and say, well, that's how God must work? Jesus Christ, Lord of all, two natures, one divine and one human, perfectly united forever in one person, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we celebrate that. And without that, there's no Christianity. You see, Jesus, God the Son, the transcendent creator, the sovereign sustainer of the universe, go and read Colossians chapter 1, became a man in order to save man. That's the good news. That's the gospel, that God would set aside his divinity, would come be born, would confine himself, God incarnate, God, the creator of the universe, confined himself to a mother's womb for 9 months. Born of a virgin, lived a sinless life as a man, operated as a man. Every miracle he did under the anointing and the power of the Holy Spirit. And that's why he can say, the things I've done, you can do even greater things. But you have to believe. You need to believe, church, who I am, that I'm risen from the dead, and that the authority and power I have, I've given to you in my name. The Gospel of John starts with this truth. The Gospel of John. Amazing. The same John that fell on the, as if dead before the exalted Christ. He says this in John chapter 1, verse 1, 2, 3. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. And through him all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has ever been made. That's a radical statement. And John 1:14, it tells us about the Word, the living Word. And John explains what the Word was. And it says, and the Word became flesh. God took on the nature of a servant, Philippians 2, did not consider, go and read it for yourself, equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking on the nature of a servant, Jesus, and being obedient unto death, even death on a cross, so that we could have life, so that he could take our sin, so that he could pay the price, so that relationship broken by sin could be restored with him, God. And because he did this, Philippians says this, chapter 2, therefore God exalted him. Number one, God exalts Jesus. And if God exalts Jesus, we better exalt Jesus. Amen? And gave him a name that is above every name. That at the name of Jesus, every knee one day will bow, either on this earth or in eternity, that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. You see, the Holy Spirit gives glory to Jesus, and Jesus gives glory to the Father. Perfect unity. Perfect unity. And that God and that same Spirit that rose Jesus from the dead dwells in us. And he wants to get out of this little box we put him in. He wants to get out. He wants us to believe. You see, if we don't believe who Jesus is, how are we going to believe who we are? If we don't believe Jesus spoke the truth when he said, the authority and the power that I have, that I walked in, I give to you to raise the dead, to heal the sick. If we don't believe this, how are we going to walk in it? You see, when we think it's about us, we fail. I have no right to speak to you today outside of Jesus Christ. But in him, we can do all things. He made himself flesh and made his dwelling amongst us. And John is saying, we have seen his glory. I walked with Jesus. I was there when Jesus walked the earth. I saw the miracles. I was there when he was betrayed. I was there when he was crucified. And I saw him rise from the dead and ascend into heaven. We have seen his glory. The one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. That's that statement, full of grace and truth. We've got to learn about that too. Extending grace to each other. Extending love to each other, but speaking the truth in love. We have to speak the truth. Society will want to tell us we should not speak the truth. But when we don't speak the truth, we are leading people astray. But we need to do it in love. It's not with a banner or trying to blow up things or so on that's going to change a person's heart. The world needs to know more about what we stand for and then what we stand against. What do we stand for? What is our life based on? If people watch my life, can they say, you know, there is a follower of Christ? Amazing questions that keep me up at night. C.S. Lewis writes this: the Son of God became a man to enable men to become sons of God. That's the incarnation. The Word made flesh. And we see this walked out because Jesus was a pattern for us. And we see this walked out in His life. And we need to be following Jesus. And we see Jesus in Luke chapter 3, 21 to 23. I wanted to read all of these scriptures. But I'm asking you, this will be online. I'll put my notes online if you want. Study it for yourself. I'm not here trying to convince you. Study it for yourself. But Jesus was baptized in the River Jordan by John the Baptist. And while he was being baptized, the Holy Spirit came down in the form of a dove. And he was anointed. It says that he was 30 years old, about 30 years old. He waited 30 years, God incarnate, walking this earth as a man for the anointing of the Holy Spirit before he began his ministry. If Jesus waited for it and Jesus needed to be anointed by the Holy Spirit, what makes us think we don't? Interesting, eh? Then in Luke 4, go and read the stories. We see in 1 and 2, Jesus is then led by the Spirit. He's anointed by the Spirit. He's then led by the Spirit and he's led into the wilderness. And you can read about the temptation of Jesus. But he comes out of the wilderness. And Luke 4 verse 14, it says this. This is amazing. So he's anointed by the Spirit. He was led by the Spirit. And he comes out of the desert full of the power of the Spirit. It's all in the Word of God. And that's what our journey is. The same as His. And why is this important to know? Because the same Holy Spirit, the same anointing, the same power is available to all who believe. It is not available to unbelieving believers. And I meet many of them. Only believe. And we're going to see that in Scripture, what he says. You see, in Luke 16, Jesus tells the story of a persistent widow. She was sick. The story is about her needing something from a righteous judge. But the context is for us to pray and not give up. And she nags this judge and nags this judge, and eventually the judge gives her way. And Jesus says, if the judge would give her way, how much more will the Father in heaven to those who ask Him, who seek His face day and night? And He says, the problem is, not can God answer the question, go and read it there. He says, will the Son of God, when He returns, find faith in the earth? Because faith is the thing that activates the power of God. Faith is the thing that actually, you cannot get saved without faith. You can do nothing without faith. Now, let's say we had a nuclear generator right outside this door. And we're sitting in darkness. And we're saying, what's wrong with the nuclear generator? There's something wrong with that generator. There's something wrong with God. He obviously doesn't have the power. We're sitting here in darkness and nothing's working. What do you have to do to activate that power? You switch on the light switch. And the power goes through a wire and it lights everything up. Faith is that, like that light switch. It activates the power of God. And we are conduits of the power of God. It comes through us and works through us, and we're, so that when we lay our hands on the sick, they recover. When we preach about Jesus, people get saved. It's nothing to do with us. It's all about Him. And Jesus modeled that because He did it all in the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen? And Jesus says that in His words here. In Acts 1:8, He says this, that you will receive power after the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witness. Ephesians, I'm going to read. Ephesians 1 speaks of the incomparably great power. Well, I want to finish with this, and if the worship team can come forward. In Mark 14, Jesus is risen from the dead, and He goes and hangs with the disciples. And this is what He says. You see, for me, church, I'm a simple person. If I cannot take God's word as truth, one bit of it, I cannot take any of it. If God says it in His word, no matter what society or no matter what people will say, that's what it says. Now I need to pray and I need to come and ask God for revelation to make sure I'm understanding what He says. And I understand that. But this is Mark 14. After His resurrection, it says later, 14 to 18. Later Jesus appeared to the 11 as they were eating. And He rebukes them. What for? For their lack of faith. And their stubborn refusal to believe. Those who had seen Him. I ask God daily, Lord, give me a teachable spirit. Lord, I don't want to live in a faithless, be part of a faithless church. I don't want to be an unbelieving believer. And He says this to them there in verse 15. Go into all the world and preach the good news to all creation. And whoever believes, remember faith, belief and faith are the same thing. Whoever believes, it's like that activation of the power of God. And is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow or accompany those who believe. This is natural Christianity 101. This is Book of Acts. We look at the Book of Acts and say, wow, if only we could be like that. Book of Acts was baby Christianity. We should be 2,000 years past that. And looking back, man, they had that, but look at what we got. Look at what we got. Where does it say in the Bible miracles will cease? Or God's power will cease? We say that because we've become unbelieving believers. It's easier to pray for somebody and they're not healed to then say, well, obviously God isn't healed. But I tell you, I will believe to my dying day that God heals and sets free. And ultimately, I win anyway. Because when I pass from here, I pass into glory. And He says this, they will drive out demons. Things that are oppressing people. They will speak in new tongues. They will pick up snakes with their hands. Now, this is not trying to be clever. Well, I'm going to pick up a cobra and show you what happens. He's talking about when you go into that world, like Africa in part, there are lots of big snakes. And they won't harm you if they drink deadly poison, not on purpose. It will not hurt them. They will place their hands on sick people and they will get well. The words of Jesus, the creator of the universe, his word is eternal. It never changes. He does not change like a shifting shadow. He doesn't change his mind. His word is constant. And those are the word of God, incarnate. So that's what we can believe for. And he says this. That anybody that calls on my name will be saved. Nobody's excluded. Do you know that Charles Manson, if he had called out to the Lord Jesus Christ in that jail, would be in heaven one day? How do I know that? Well, Paul murdered Christians for a living. And he wrote 2/3 of the New Testament. But it comes with us that we say, God, give me a fresh revelation of who you are. So if we can just bow our heads for one moment, and then we have a young man that wants to get baptized. Praise God. If there's anybody else that wants to be baptized, please come forward. If you can bow your heads for a moment. Holy Spirit, I ask you to come in the name of Jesus and anoint us afresh. We're not going to give an account for how many bums we had in the seats of the church. We're going to give an account of how we lived our life for you, Lord Jesus. How we used our resources. How we used our lives. And Lord, I know you're slow to anger and abounding in love. And Holy Spirit, I ask you for a fresh revelation of Jesus Christ to fall upon us. For the ones that don't know you, Lord Jesus, I pray that they'll know that you love them more than they could ever imagine. That you died for them. You took their sin so they might have life. For the ones that have walked away like prodigals, the Father's standing there with open arms, waiting for you to come home. He wants to put a robe on, a fresh, clean robe. He's already paid for your sin. He wants you to come home.